crossing's fucked. Like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, I don't want to be involved with cars. You probably shouldn't. Because, like we have said in this episode, all of this stuff is inevitable. Shit is going to happen regardless. Right. And if your approach to it is this, oh, fuck this, I don't want to do it anymore, then you probably shouldn't. Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to Substance Podcast. I'm your host, Liam.
And I am your other host, Matt.
I was literally just thinking that as I said it, I was like, man, we have like this very specific formula to how we say that intro. It's almost kind of corny.
No,
and then you literally switched it up and that made it so much better. We should do that.
I don't think it's corny because, like, at least for me, that like puts me in Substance Podcast mode.
Oh yeah, it's the way that you get your brain to focus.
That's my neural pathway for Substance Podcast is our.
It's like you have to flash up a title in your head, and you're just like, all right, we're good, we're here.
Exactly.
But hey, guys, we have made a big mistake. before I get to that, I apologize that we did not release an episode last week. Both of us got really, really caught up in a bunch of stuff. I ended up being out of town, going and seeing family, and I was hoping I'd get back so that we could at least like do something. And it was a whole mess getting back here, and just too many things going on, too much stress for
both
of us.
You guessed it, working.
Yeah. So we didn't release an episode last week. We didn't even address not releasing an episode last week. So I apologize to you guys that there was no episode, but we're back, and obviously this week we actually have cool stuff that we're going to talk about. And when I say that we made a big mistake, the big mistake was one, sitting and recording in this fucking garage. It's so hot in here.
It's quite warm.
It is
quite warm in here.
It is toasty. I will say, these comfortable chairs, shout out Johnny, do make it more bearable.
Can you imagine doing this in the old chairs?
Yeah, it'd be rough. It's one thing that you're super uncomfortable because like your clothes are sticking to you and your brain feels like it's swelling. It's another thing to do that on a chair that is uncomfortable. So shout out to Johnny
for
buying us these chairs,
eliminating that issue.
Yeah, well, half of it. It still didn't cool it down in here. So
Johnny, we need some air conditioning.
Just introducing kidding, today's sponsor,
Johnny.
Johnny has come through and has bought an AC unit for the garage. That would be amazing, honestly. But I don't think it'll do a whole lot. We really just like
because the other thing is we could get like four fucking fans, but then it would get caught up in the
audio. You guys are just hearing fucking fan noise right now anyway. But that's because the fan is trying to cool the camera to make sure that doesn't overheat. So I still have a camera to do my job.
This truly is a grassroots operation.
It's grassroots. There's no roots. It's one root. This is a grassroots podcast.
we don't have enough resources for the rest of the grassroots.
We're so grassroots that it's just one root. No, the other part of the mistake is that we're recording today on Sunday, which we have now announced to ourselves as.
We have made an official announcement between the two of us. No one else was there.
Substance Sundays.
Oh, you finish. Okay. My thing's stupid.
So the idea behind Substance Sundays is that we have busy lives. We have things going on all throughout the week. We're like just super caught up in all of the things that we need to get done, right? And unfortunately, for a little while now, we've been, I'm not going to say behind, because it's not like we were fucking ahead in the first place, but just not fully on the train of like, let's get stuff done for Substance, let's be planning and stuff, because it's tough when you're stressed about a million things and you're trying to like come up with business ideas and stuff. And it's all stuff that you can't act on because you have no money and like a bunch of debt hanging over you. It's tough to get yourself in that mindset. But we are now branding Sundays as Substance Sundays for us so that we can every Sunday sit down and talk, go over ideas, make notes, come up with things. And today was so productive.
Yeah, today was pretty we came out pretty strong today, I think.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, like this has got me in such a more motivated mood, knowing that I have this like set day of the week that will be focused entirely on coming up with ideas and things that will better this podcast and essentially business. I'm pretty stoked on it. But the mistake in that is that we have spent the entire
day. Our brains are fried now.
Yes, we woke up at 8 a.m. You know, we went out, we got food, we talked to all of them, we came home, talked some more. We also planned to record the podcast at like 1 or 2. And then we ended up sitting and talking for even longer.
Getting into it, yeah.
Until we got to a point where we were hungry again. And then we had to go eat again. And then we talked more. And then we're finally coming home to do the podcast. And we had an idea hours ago for what we were going to record today. And then we're sitting here ready to record. Like, what were we going to do today? We made so many notes on all of the things that we're excited and planning. Else. We didn't make notes on the damn subjects that we want to do today. So bear with us. We're going to figure it out. I'm hoping it's just going to come to me as we get through this intro sequence, because there is a lot of updates. There's a lot of things that are going on and changes, and exciting or not, I'm going to tell you about them. Matt, what was it you were going to say before? Let me finish.
This is kind of a joke, but my limited time facial hair is a YouTube exclusive. So I had to address it because people can be like, oh, he's doing that now. I just messed up my neckline when I was shaving yesterday, so I was just like, all right.
It's mustache only. Well, I'm doing
no, the you weren't supposed to say it. That's why it was a...
Whoops. Well, if you would like to see it, you can
Yeah,
go
well,
see it.
I do. I only have a mustache.
You mean I wasn't supposed
right
to
now.
Say anything? Like, you weren't fucking just announcing it on
no,
public
no,
forum.
No, because see, the
not
thing...
Not specifically
the
what...
The thing was... Right.
Oh,
right.
It's elusive.
People that couldn't see it could be like, does he have a handlebar mustache? Does he have mutton chops? I need to go to YouTube and see what's on this dude's face. And then you went and just bull in a china shopped it, dude.
See, usually I'm really like aware of stuff like that, but again,
his
brain is
fried, and it's really hot. This is going to be an interesting episode, if for nothing else than that. Between like the heat in here melting our brains that are already fried, but I promise we won't complain about that the whole episode. Just like 5% of the episode.
If halfway through the episode. If you watch this on YouTube and you go to like the bathroom and you come back and one of us is not wearing a shirt, don't be alarmed. It's just really warm in here.
Be really entertaining is if either of us looks over at some point and we're dead ass like sweating, like very like obviously sweating. Like how fucking funny would that be?
I'm already feeling it. We're a few minutes in, and this is going to be rough.
Yeah,
but anyways.
You see what we do for you guys?
Yeah, guys. Do you see what we what we sacrifice for you guys?
Anyhow.
Updates, things. So, the last episode, we talked about Helen, right? Was that the last episode that we did? Mm-hmm. Okay. So when I can't remember if I mentioned it in the episode, but I feel like I did. I know I mentioned it a bunch around the Helen weekend anyway. I'd said that I was really considering keeping the Majesta because of that weekend, because it was really nice to just drive it around, like enjoy it in the mountains and just appreciate driving it. Well, I got rid of the Majesta and I'm in this really just weird headspace about it now. I'm not going to go crazy.
I know what that feels like.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
But well, yours was by choice. Much worse than that.
yours was forcibly taken
mine
from you.
Mine was stolen from me.
Mine was a choice that I made that I am now slightly regretting. I'm not going to go crazy in detail on everything, but the short story is I traded the Majesta for another car, and the car itself is fucking awesome. Honestly, it's a chassis that I've really wanted for a long time.
Ridiculously clean.
It is a
like
very clean car.
Obscenely clean.
Here's the problem, though. It is not a 1UZ car, and so it's a little out of my realm, and standard fashion of my luck, mechanically, it's not all fine.
Well, I mean, mechanically, there's just annoying stuff that you're now going to have to spend money on.
Yes. So, okay. Without going into detail on the car and everything, because I want to wait and like probably make like a YouTube video to show it and like why I got it, whatever, right? I will tell you, though, that the incentive for me making this trade, just so I can give you context before you like see the car and you're like, what? The incentive is right now, I am just in a horrible financial situation. I got a bunch of debt hanging over me that I need to pay off, and I can't really think about doing things for Substance or like moving on new business ventures until I take care of that stuff. It's just too much that's weighing on me, and it's driving me nuts. And part of this trade deal for me was that I'm trading for a car that is of equal value. Pretty much. It's really clean. It's really nice. And it has some parts on it that make it like a more cool car for me to enjoy. It's also a chassis that I've always wanted. And then it also comes with a bunch of extra parts. Now, the extra parts I can sell to then get some money back, recoup to pay off some debt. And then I come out with a cool car that I quite like. It has some parts on it. Those parts that are already on it, if I want to use those to leverage trading for something else, like the wheels that are on it, which I'll get into in a second, I could leverage trading those, or I could sell them to then get a different set of wheels that are a better fit for me, whatever, right? There were a few incentives for me that made sense for this deal. And not talking bad on the car or the deal, honestly, it is fine. It's just, I think I had like high expectations based off of just being used to how things are with 1UZ cars. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the wheels. This car had some Enki RPF1s on it. And I drove, we met up in Atlanta to make the trade. So I drove the car home. Car drives amazing, super smooth. Everything was good. I get home and I was looking under it at some pretty bad oil leaks that I knew it had some oil leaks, but I didn't know how bad. And I'm trying to like figure them out. That's stressing me out some, right? And I go to get up. And as I'm getting up, I look through the spokes of the wheel and where it attaches to the hub, this big old crack. And I'm like, I pray that that is just like a hair or something.
It was pretty. And the crack itself, like on the hub, or like the center of the wheel, I guess.
Oh, it's not just like a hairline crack. It's literally
substantial.
It is protruding out. Like two pieces are pushing out and the crack is opening up.
Pretty substantial.
That sketched me the fuck out because I just drove like 100 miles on that. Didn't notice it. So I took the wheel off, and what do you know, around this like, around the lug hole is,
that sounds so funny.
It really does. there's five cracks. There's that one that you could see from the outside. And then on the inside, there's these cracks. It's to me what it looks like and how it came off is that like you put a lug nut on there and just fucking hit that bitch with like 800 foot pounds of torque.
It literally
went through the material and just broke it. I've never seen this happen to a wheel, and in my mind, there's
no
way.
What I just thought about?
What?
Do you want to know why that happened?
What do you mean?
You essentially have like lug bolts. I just thought about this because there's no like, it's just a bolt and it's not an actual lug nut with like a cap on it. There's no way for it to stop. So you can just torque it as much If there's thread, you can just keep torquing it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's why that happened. Because I mean, you can just torque it all the way.
It's a normal lug nut that's got like a, what do you call it? Like a flanged inner part. So it actually, like, it seats in there properly. It's not like any weird lug nut. But either way, I've never seen this happen. And there's no way it happened from driving. Like, the hole itself is just like ovaled. And I was mind blown. And it was real difficult to get that lug nut off. Like, it was on there stupid tight. But anyways, that wheel was messed up. I now have to buy another wheel. I do want to email Enki and just see if, I don't know, maybe they had like a bad cast. I have no idea. Just because from my perspective, I don't know if like that's even possible. Like, Enki's a reputable company. RPF1s, everybody runs them. It's a cheap, lightweight wheel. But I've never seen anything like that happen. And from, I'm getting mixed reviews from people. Like, I've put it out there and asked what they think. And some people have said, oh yeah, that's definitely an over-torquing issue. Some people have said, depending on like the conditions, climate, wherever it was, it could be the metal deteriorating. But it's a brand new wheel. It's got 1700 miles on it. It was bought last year. Like, there's no reason the metal should be deteriorated. But yeah, I mean, it's just weird. I ultimately have to replace a wheel, which is frustrating. It's not something I wanted to do. And I was kind of planning that I would just sell those wheels and get something that was more my style. And now I have to buy a replacement. Kind of don't really want to sell them. But yeah, that and just needing to spend a bunch of money.
I'll just put them on the TSX, dude. It's all good.
That would be sweet, honestly. But I can't give them to you because then I don't have any wheels on this car.
No, that's okay. There's another TSX, albeit that I really like, but it's a black one on RPF ones too. So that would be.
But yeah, it turns out that there's quite a few things that I need to like address on the car and spend money on that I wasn't expecting to, and that's probably dumb on my part. But it is what it is. I'm now probably having to use, hopefully not all of that money from the parts that I'm going to sell. The car has a CD09 swap kit for it that's worth a decent amount of money. And so I was planning to sell that and use it to pay down some debt. So if anybody needs a JZ to CD kit, let me know. but yeah, I'm having to spend some money on that car now, which is not what I wanted to do. But it is what it is. Such is life. Comes with the territory. And I will deal with it and be just fine. But yeah, the reason I say I'm in a weird headspace is because the Majesta was a really, really nice, perfect car with zero issues. And I've basically just given myself some issues that I have to deal with. But either way.
I mean, to be fair, though, I don't know if it'll make you feel any better, but like, let's be honest. No, it didn't have any issues right now.
It could.
But that is, I mean, no. Not only is there a whole bunch of power shit on that car.
Oh, yeah, like, all the electronic stuff.
It's a fucking, what is 90, what is that, like 30 years now?
It's about to be 30 years, yeah. It was a 93.
A 30-year-old right-hand drive Japanese car, like,
yeah.
You may not have had something going on now,
yeah,
but you were going to run into something, and if it was something where you had to get parts from Japan, like,
yeah, I don't doubt it.
Take it from me. It's not an easy process.
Yeah, and I mean, that's it's a trade-off, really. Like, I mean, I'm thankful that obviously this is a U.S. car. I mean, yes, it's a Japanese car, but it's a left-hand drive car, and so getting parts for it is really not going to be that bad, and just about anybody can work on it. So it's not crazy at the end of the day. But yeah, you're right. The Majesta at some point was obviously going to need some addressing, some things in there, especially if it's any kind of electrical stuff that you just can't easily get parts for, or, you know, find out on forums how you replace it.
That's the part that's rough about getting like older JDM cars. Like, it's so cool, but especially with like big body, like VIP platforms, especially like the Majesta, when it's like power everything.
See,
it's
like,
just, it's like when one of them shits goes out, like, you might as well say goodbye. Like,
it's cool that like they're so affordable, and they make sense on paper, like as a daily, because they've got, you know, most of them have pretty low miles, they're very reliable, and a lot of the stuff still works. But I mean, the reason that is because people didn't daily drive them their entire lives, and they were taken very good care of and just not used that often. you bring them over to the US and start beating on them every single day and using all the features all the time, like inevitably they're all going to start to break. But it is what it is. It just kind of comes with that stuff. And I don't mean to sound bad about the trade or anything. You know, I love the car that I picked up. I am pretty excited about it. I'm just hoping that I can get, you know, some of this stuff squared away and not be in like a worse off spot.
I'm really excited to see what you do with that, honestly.
Cause it's a cool car.
Yet to have a platform quite like this.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited to see kind of how you set it up.
I think it'd be cool. And by the way, it is a daily. So don't expect like a full crazy build, like the LS or anything.
Dump nuts low.
Which I think a lot of people expected me to do with the Majesta. Again, that was a daily. If I can get to a point where I can buy another car that is a daily and go ham on another project, sure, I will. But not for the time being or foreseeable future. But with this car, because there's a couple little things that can be leveraged or whatever, and some of the parts are more affordable, I'm going to do some stuff to it just to make it like a nice, usable car that looks cool and I can enjoy every day. But nothing crazy. I'm trying to get back to where my LS was before I went crazy with it, where I just daily drove it and it was a really cool, fun, nice car. It's essentially what I'm going for. So I'll figure it out. But anyways, that's enough on that. I'm trying to think of other updates and things that are exciting.
Shout out to Ben.
Ben and Victoria.
I guess they're like on their way back here pretty soon, right?
Yeah, I think that they probably fly home tomorrow. So by the time you guys are listening to this, I think Ben and Victoria are on their way home from Italy. But looks like they've had a super good trip, and I'm excited to hear more about it. I think it's like the first time both of them have been out of the country.
Ben was doing some car spotting over there, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Over the time that he's been over there, he's been sending us photos of just like random fucking cars that he sees over there that he's never seen before. That's pretty neat.
You know how you're joking about sweating? I can feel a drop of sweat. I can feel a drop of sweat coming down my forehead right now. Oh my God.
Yo, I can see it now.
The things we do for you guys.
We really out here right now.
Well, if this episode ends up being a little shorter than some of the other ones, i.e. not being 2 hours long, that is why.
That is the reason.
But yeah, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure to give us 5 stars. And if you're on YouTube, give us a like, post in the comments, and then go to the description and join our Discord, because I'm trying to be a lot more active in there. What?
We promised that we would show, not tell. So just go join the Discord. You will be happy that you did.
All right. That's it. Bye, guys. Thanks. I'm just kidding. That's not the end of the episode. All right. Should we dive into what it is that we want to talk about?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of... You're the one with the master plan for that, as it were. So kind of like lead me and okay.
So recently I've been, I'm not going to say studying, because like that sounds a little bit full on. That's not exactly what I've been doing, but I'm very observant. I pay attention to things. And something that I've like started to notice, and I mean, I don't even know why it would have taken me this long, but, the car community, like as a community or as like a subculture or whatever, has a lot of similarities to really any and every other community that's like a hobby or interest. And that's something that I want to kind of like dive into and make some comparisons, because I think a lot of people, when we're addressing like car community things, or specifically if we're talking about like issues and things that are bad about the community, you can quite often make a lot of comparisons between cars and some of these other like hobby/interest related communities and see that they have like similar things or similar issues. And for me, being able to make these comparisons and look overall at some of this stuff kind of helps a little bit to where, like, I'm the type of person that gets bothered by stuff. Like, you know, for example, takeover stuff, right? Anybody that is listening to this podcast, or at least I hope, should be against takeover stuff because it is a bad reputation for the car community. It is people that are using cars as an excuse to get their thrills or be fucking, I don't know, whatever they're trying to do. They're trying to get their thrills. They're trying to be against authorities or get attention, do stuff for clout, whatever it is, right? Everybody has their motives and their reasons for doing things. But one thing I think that we can agree on with takeovers is that people are using cars or being involved with cars for the wrong reasons in takeover culture. And for me, it helps me relax a little bit if I'm able to make comparisons or observe other communities, like I said, other hobby-based communities that have similar issues. I'm trying to think of a good comparison from there to like segue into from takeover culture. I'm trying to think what other like hobby or interest has people involved in it for the wrong reasons, and they do shit for like attention.
Well, so for whatever reason, the one that immediately pops into my head isn't necessarily as black and white, I guess, as mm-hmm. far as like people being in it for the wrong reason. However, and it's kind of weird that I'm the one saying this and not you, but like photography, mm-hmm. I feel like is very much that way because like there's no avoiding this. And I personally, I feel totally comfortable saying this, even though I'm not like a photographer. Mm-hmm. That like space mm-hmm. is so saturated, and you have so many people that are like legitimately taking photos that are like mediocre at best and then putting on like somebody else's Lightroom preset mm-hmm. and then like acting like they did something. Again, it's not as that's not as detrimental.
Yeah.
So to speak, but even still, I mean, that's kind of like you're not contributing at all. You're just kind of like creating more noise that's getting in the way of people seeing somebody who's putting in a lot more work than you
are. Right, of course. Okay. So I think I've kind of come up with something that I think could have like a more direct comparison as far as like the extent that it like negatively affects something. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you guys may or may not know about this. I know that this is specific to me being British, but football or soccer for you Americans, in England, everybody is involved with football. You know, everybody's football fans. Everybody's got, you know, their clubs that they support, all of that stuff.
Are you talking about firms?
Firms?
Isn't that what they're called?
I never heard that.
Green Street Hooligans.
That's what I was going to get called. I don't know about firms. I have no idea.
I think they're called firms.
Okay. Well, anyways.
Why the fuck? If I'm right, why the fuck do I know that?
And you don't? I have no idea. I guess I don't pay attention.
Continue, but I want to see.
I hate sports and I hate football, so that's probably why. But anyway, in that community, you know, where the general population that is involved with it loves the sport, but there is small communities within that community that are involved with it for the wrong reason. And it's great that you brought up Green Street Hooligans, which is a movie that you guys should definitely watch. It's sick.
Hooligan firms. They're called firms.
They are.
Those groups, yeah.
Okay, so those groups that – essentially what they do, they basically cause riots. They, like, go to the games and just cause fights with the opposing teams, and it's crazy. And the film Green Street Hooligans, or is the film even called that?
It's Green Street Hooligans.
It is that. Okay, I thought it was called like Football Factory or something, or no, that's probably something else.
No, it's Green Street Hooligans. Yeah,
but anyway,
it's a great fucking movie. Definitely watch it if you get
the
chance.
Yeah, the comparison is that, you know, the majority of people that are interested in football or soccer are there because they like the sports. They enjoy the up and down excitement of seeing it happen, all of that stuff, right? Then you have those groups that are there because they just want to cause problems. They like the thrill and the excitement of getting each other fucking angry or whatever, and then they just fight each other, and it's crazy. And I've seen this stuff happen. This is real. Like that movie is obviously like, it's a cool movie, but it's real. These people really cause issues, dude. And like, you know, certain places in England, you can't go in certain areas or like certain pubs to watch a game if you're wearing a, you know, opposing team's football stuff, because it just won't end well.
it's soccer games, dude, it literally is.
But for me, like, I see that comparison between that and like the takeover stuff. It's people that, you know, maybe they did come into it.
Who are you repping? Aston Villa.
But for me, it is people who are like, maybe they were into cars or into cars to an extent, but then they like get into the community in just the worst way possible. And that's what takeover stuff is. It's people that they probably have an interest in cars. I mean, you have to have an interest in cars to even like get in them and want to slide them around at all. But they then get in them and use it as a way to get attention or do dumb shit or just like piss off the law or whatever it is. It's negative reactions out of people that they want. And it's just not good. It's not proactive for the community, and it's very damaging.
I mean, everybody knows how I feel about that shit. I think the thing that popped into my head when you were talking about that is just kind of like, at least in this context, if you're doing something, again, in this context, I'm not saying this as a blanket statement because it very much does not work the same way in a lot of different things. But in this context, when it comes to like doing car shit, if whatever it is that you're doing, you wouldn't even think about doing it like if you were alone.
Yeah.
You're probably doing it for attention. Yeah. Because you know, doing burnouts and drifting and shit.
Right.
If you're into that, like,
you would do it on your own time anyway.
Like an empty shipping section behind like a building and you're by yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to do that. If that's what you're into, you're going to do that shit.
Right. But if you only do it when there's crowds of people.
Exactly. Odds are you're doing it for attention. And like, that's it. Look, if you can prove me wrong, if you have like, you know, another line of logic for that, by all means, tell me. But like, to me, that logic checks out. Like, if it's something that you're doing with cars in this context, and you wouldn't do it if you were by yourself,
yeah,
you're probably doing it for attention.
Right. But no, it's an interesting thing to look at. And that's obviously just touching on like one example. And then that's obviously also quite a negative thing. But even like a lower level, there's so many things that I feel like you can relate to as well. Like even just different types of people involved with these communities.
Yeah.
It's almost like the you know, like the stereotypical like high school movies, right? Like, okay, let's do like high
jocks.
Like the jocks. You got the nerds. You got the emo goth people. Like there's all these like little characters in these stereotypical movies. I feel like sometimes with car stuff, it's kind of like that.
I would absolutely say it's like that.
Yeah.
You have the, I feel like if I go too far into that, it comes into like the targeting thing, because it'll be just stereotyped enough. But I would absolutely say that.
Yeah.
You absolutely have people that are like into cars, but they're all approaching it from like a different angle. Like the one, just for whatever reason, that kind of pops into my head is like drifting.
Mm-hmm.
In that, as a matter of fact, like not even drifting, more like motorsport. That's a better one.
Okay.
Is you think about these guys that do like motorsport stuff specifically, odds are they are head and shoulders more knowledgeable than most people.
Yeah.
About a lot of like the minutiae of this kind of stuff. And whereas like,
and then you have the guys that just have exotics that drive crazy on the street.
They think that they're race car drivers. Just buy the fucking car.
Those are the jocks.
The skill comes with this. Exactly. Those are the jocks. And but it's like, so for that reason, yes. And then you have the people that are, I mean, and I consider myself at least partially like this, so no hate, but like you have the people that are kind of like nerdy, that are just like really, really acutely interested in like learning about this stuff, like,
well, yeah. And then you got the different conceptually types, you got like the Bandcamp nerds, which is everybody who drives a VQ. It's not, it's totally not. I was just doing that because it's the instrument joke, but no, there's like different there's literally different types, because I'm a fucking creative, but I consider myself like super fucking nerdy. If the car community was a high school movie, like, we're both of us are 100% fucking nerds. We're literally sitting here talking about this shit. Yeah. And I hate to break it to you guys, all of you guys that are listening, are fucking nerds too. But that's fine, because we're pretty fucking cool. So suck it, jocks.
But yeah, no, I think that it definitely, and I mean, of course, it goes without saying that it's inevitable with like, you know, subcultures. When you have a bunch of humans together, like, by some, you know, way, shape, or form, they're going to get divided. And it doesn't even have to be like a destructive thing.
Yeah, exactly. You
just, that's just how we are as human beings. It's like, right, we're more similar with some people than we are with others. Exactly. And it's, that's, I think the part that kind of sucks, that is inevitable, is there will always be, like, I mean, not to fucking quote Batman, but like, there will always be that sector that just wants to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
Like, you can't escape that.
Exactly. I think I'll get onto like the positives in a sec, but I think like Bruce,
we're talking about subcultures and he wants me to say the thing about watching the world burn.
Well, no, okay, I think like one of the key points,
I'm gonna regret doing that when I listen to this again.
One of the key points that I think I'm getting at here with this whole like conversation is that no matter what you do, there's going to be issues. There's going to be things that happen. There's just things that are just inevitable about the community. And I see it all too often. And, you know, we've had our moments too, where we get in that, you know,
yeah, we did
that headspace where we get in that headspace where we're just like, oh man, fuck the car scene. Everything's going to shit. Like, blah, blah, blah. You can't change shit. And you're absolutely right. You can't change shit. Like, yeah, you can make a difference on like a small community level and just do what you can for your community, but at the end of the day, like you said, there's always going to be people that want to watch the world burn. They're gonna do that dumb shit. We can do whatever we can. You're to the one with try
the British accent, why would you not
shut the fuck up?
If I had a British accent, I 100% would have just pulled Michael Caine just then.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. You know where that's from, right?
The Italian Job?
Yes, he knows. Anybody that knows The Italian Job, you're fucking awesome. We need to watch that. That was my entire childhood. It was the original Italian Job, not the American one with what's his fucking face?
Marky Mark?
Yeah, dude, that is not the Italian Job. Marky Mark and a Cooper S?
That's
no.
The Wahlberg Job.
Yeah, that is, it's not even in Italy. Get fucked. Anyways, I think, yeah, what I'm getting at is that, you know, we've said this a bunch of times with our like disclaimer. It's not that serious. I know that we have a podcast where we talk about a lot of issues in the car community and we get quite in depth with this stuff. But at the end of the day, all of it is inevitable. Like you said, when there are people in communities that come from different backgrounds, they have kind of different approaches and interests, there's just going to be this natural separation of like, some people just don't get along. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And I think what does help make the community a little better is just, if we're just cool with accepting that, it doesn't have to be like this way or that way or whatever. It's just like, let people be and do their own fucking thing.
But I do think it's worth it to mention, like, just because I thought about this right when you said that, it is completely necessary to just like find your peace with that.
Yeah.
But
I'm not condoning. Right,
I know that, but I do just want to say like, there are not all that many things, especially, okay, we'll narrow it to car culture. There isn't honestly really anything that's as black and white as the fact that, like, takeovers suck. They're bad. Yes. Like, I mean, as a person, I don't really give a fuck if you go to a takeover and have fun or whatever, like, whoop-de-doo. But, like, every time that you do that, the more heat you're bringing on to people that don't give two fucks about that.
I'm feeling the heat right now, dude. And, shut the fuck
up. And it, I mean, California, dude, California is a great example, oh, it's a prime example of people being really disruptive and shitty with cars. And they crack down on that shit.
It has a direct effect on everybody.
To be honest, closer to home here, Atlanta is starting to crack down on shit. A, oh, yeah. Because of takeovers, but B, because of street racing.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've talked about that. Like, honestly, whether we, you know, whether anyone likes it or not, street racing is an inseparable part of car cult. I mean, it's part of the reason that a lot of this came up.
But there's, I personally, time and a place for everything.
Exactly. Like I personally, while street racing is entertaining on paper, I personally don't condone street racing because like I get wanting to race and I get that it's really inconvenient to wave. Like I get it. Look, okay, I understand it. But like, if you kill a mother and three of her children,
right,
street racing, like, is it still going to be worth it to you or like right. what?
Yeah.
Anybody that hasn't been, here's my thing, right? And I honestly don't give a shit if you get butthurt when I say this, talking to anybody who hears this. If you've never been in a car accident caused by your being irresponsible,
mm-hmm.
you don't really have a concept. And it's like, yeah, and if you have had a car accident because you were being irresponsible and you're still just kind of out there being irresponsible, like
that takes a whole nother person.
Yeah. You need to like go to therapy or something because yeah. This is the thing.
And like we're all young and dumb and make mistakes. That's the thing.
There are some things about me, unfortunately, that sound kind of boomery, and I've, you know, made my peace with that. But like, it's just, look, man, again, I get it. All right. Street racing. Like, I get it. Like, racing is fucking cool. It's fun. Like, the adrenaline is there. I get it. But coming from somebody who, and I mean, I guess this is me telling on myself. Coming from somebody who made an irresponsible decision driving a modified car, and basically the only reason I made the decision was because my car was modified and I thought I could do it. I thought I could make it happen because my car was modified and I could have killed somebody in that particular accident. That was all it took.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it was just kind of like I didn't kill them.
Yeah, you got lucky.
But I could have.
Right.
And it's like, that's all it takes. So what I'm getting at is like, I guess context was like street racing. So
it's not worth even taking the risk.
It's like
essentially where
you're and going. It's never, you know, that's never going to stop, but ultimately it becomes your personal decision whether or not you want to street race. And again, look, I'll be totally upfront with you. I've street raced, lost every time because none of my fucking cars were fast enough.
Not fast.
But like, yeah, there you go. So I've done it. So don't, come at, you know, don't be like, man, you know, no, because I'm telling you right now, I have done it. But looking back on it now, after having had that accident, the idea that, you know, I could cause an accident that would literally kill someone or multiple people.
Right. And then they would just be innocent bystanders.
Just because I felt like, you know, getting, you know, going fast for however long.
Yeah.
It's just not, I mean, it's no. To me, it's just not worth it. But I think I can sum all that up for this whole part of this talk very simply. It's like, don't fucking put other people in danger, dude.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, it's I mean, that, that's, why?
That's the
why?
Biggest thing is like,
because if you kill somebody, you can't be like, oh, well, I didn't mean to. You fucking killed them.
Right.
Because you can't.
Right. My whole take too on that same thing with street racing or even like street drifting, right? It's cool. Of course it's cool. Like I see the appeal. I get it. I've been in and around both of those things, street racing and street drifting. And it's really cool to see. It's awesome. It has that like cool raw feel, whatever. But the one thing I will always say is that you have to do it right. There are precautions. Right. Like, if you're going to do some stuff that's illegal, at least do it well to a point where, like, if you want to get caught, that's one thing.
But well, I can agree.
Exactly.
I can compromise.
Like, if you have to do it, then do it safely. Like, with street drifting stuff. Say you're going to do it on, like, a mountain road, right? Yeah. You know that the road doesn't get that much traffic on it, but you can never guarantee that when you're coming around a hairpin corner, there isn't going to be a fucking car there. Right. Okay, you know what you need to do? You need to have a spotter.
You get a spotter,
you have somebody go up to the top of the hill, the top of your run, and they have a radio. If they say that there is no cars coming and you can go do your hit, that is awesome. If they say that a car is coming and you're in the middle of the hit, you need to be able to hear that to stop. There are safe ways to do things. It's the same thing with street racing. If you're going to do street racing, go find a industrial estate on a fucking Saturday night that has nobody there, not even semi drivers, nobody. Empty streets where you're not going to affect anybody. The noise you're making also isn't going to affect like residential nearby. There's safe ways to do things.
And I guarantee you people are going to be hearing you say, oh, it's going to get broken up. Motherfucker, it's going to get broken up on the street too. What do you mean?
It's inevitable it's going to get broken up. There's no reason to get mad about that. It's fucking illegal at the end of the day. And I'm not condoning any of this stuff at all. I don't want it to come across that way. Like, hey, go do this. I'm just saying, if you are going to do it, or you have to do it, be responsible, be respectful, and also understand the fact that if you're doing something illegal and the police come, I mean, what do you expect? That's just how it is. If you're going to play with fire, you have to be ready to get burnt. So if you're going to do any of that shit and you get arrested, there's no point getting upset about it. You need to accept the fact that you made those choices. But yeah, the safety thing, like, don't do that shit around, you know, public people. And that is why we narrow in on takeover stuff, is because the entire, like, street racing and street drifting, those a lot of the time are not people that are doing it in a way, like, sometimes they are, you know, they want to record videos to put on social media and show off the craziest videos, get more views, whatever, right? But that's exactly what takeover stuff is based on. The crazier shit that you do, the more attention it will garner, whether that's in person in front of people or on social media. And oftentimes the bigger risks that you take, the more attention it's going to get. It's not fucking good, because you're going to take a risk and it is not going to go well. You're going to kill somebody. And even if you don't, it's such a bad reputation for just the rest of the community. Some of us just want to drive our cars. Yeah, we just want to, like, enjoy our cars.
Just to bitch a little bit more. And this may be, no, you know what? This is not boomer of me. This is just person of me. One of the thing that pisses me off the most about that, like, culture or whatever the fuck,
mm-hmm.
is like how they legitimately will just stop traffic. Like, they'll just take up an entire intersection. And so everybody that's just like trying to get home is like, are you fucking shitting me?
Yeah. And then if somebody
just have to sit there, and if you try and push through,
right,
not only are they going to beat the fuck out of your car,
it's
that
insane.
Shit is so whack.
It's
dude.
Insane. Anyway,
that shit is so whack.
Community stuff. I want to talk about our show's sponsor, Wheel Price. It is stop loving. It is an amazing community. It is a site, an app that you can use to buy and sell wheels. As soon as I get those Enki sorted out, if I am going to sell them, I will be listing them on the Wheel Price app. But I've been keeping an eye out for stuff that's on there because I want a different set of wheels. But anyway. Wheel Price is a really great app for buying and selling wheels. It's also a great community. If you follow their Instagram, you'll see that they've been posting a lot of really cool videos. Basically just doing interviews with people, asking them about their car and asking them about their wheels specifically. And Kyle, who's presenting those videos, is doing a great job. I think that they're super entertaining. And I am excited, hopefully soon. I know we've been talking about it for a little while. We really want to go to Charlotte.
Kyle still thinks I'm AI.
You are AI.
I think. Oh, yeah. I forgot.
But we want to go to Charlotte sometime soon to do some content with those guys and actually let you guys see and experience a little bit more of what Wheel Price is and who the guys are. But, you know, I'll give you guys the same spiel I do every week. They're great guys. They're enthusiasts just like us that love what they do. And they've created an app that is for the community. And it basically just saves you the hassle of having to try and sell your wheels on Marketplace or any other third party websites. You don't really need to deal with that back and forth. You just post the wheels, post the info. Someone wants to buy it, they can buy it. And it's a real intuitive system, and I'm really stoked on it. So you guys should definitely go check it out if you're in the market to get your next set of wheels, or you are trying to sell a set. Go check out Wheel Price. All of the links are in the description below, and help support the sponsor that helps support this show and makes it a better show. So shout out to Wheel Price. Go check them out. And since we have touched pretty heavily on like the negative sides of this topic, I want to get into some positives. So going back to making like comparisons between different like communities that are hobby / interest based, the car community and like how we can compare it. If we want to do the same comparison that we did earlier, which was my football soccer comparison, let's talk about the positive things in those communities. Even though, you know, we have people who come from different backgrounds or separate, that's another thing that's actually a big part of it. A good hobby and interest that you are passionate about and very involved with, oftentimes those communities can be some of the most accepting places of people from different backgrounds. And yeah. I've experienced this myself just in cars, being that I'm a person from another country, which, you know, England's not that crazy out of the realm. Most people in America are just interested in what I have to say. It is a weird thing to come from somewhere completely different and try and involve yourself in a community that you're passionate about, but it's scary because you're an outsider. Sorry, I have a sweat dripping down my face.
It's hot in here. I don't know if we've mentioned that.
Yeah, I know, right? It can be pretty daunting to like join those kind of communities and be scared that whether you're going to be accepted or not, because maybe based on your background or who you are or your ethnicity, which is a common problem in society. But I think that that's one of the things that is really special about the car community and other hobby / interest based communities is that you're all there for the same reason. You share a common interest with that one thing. So for us, it's car culture. We love cars. We love everything to do with cars. I could quite happily go to a classic car show, which I did last weekend when I was in Michigan. I went to a classic car show and I can stand and talk with somebody who's in their 80s about their car that I know nothing about. I'm just genuinely curious, mm-hmm. and they'll just talk to me about their car. And then it goes vice versa. You just have that back and forth about
car. Why does your car look like that?
Yeah. Well, I had the Majesta with me, which is a little easier to talk about than if I had the LS. I don't imagine the LS would be everybody's favorite at a fucking classic car show. But the Majesta is easy because it's just a stock, or was. It's not mine anymore. Was a stock Japanese car that's just interesting. And so like I can have that conversation with anybody, like, oh yeah, you know, it's a taxi from Japan that was imported, blah blah blah. And it's really cool that you can literally just connect with absolutely anybody in the community and not really have to worry about them making those prejudgments or whatever, because at the end of the day, we don't care. None of that stuff matters. We're all just here because we like cars. And I think that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think just from a very human, oh my God.
Brain loading.
Yeah, no kidding. Just from a very human standpoint, just coming from a very like human place. I can't. This is a hard one.
Just a human thing from the human place.
Just a human thing is literally the best way.
On today's show, we're gonna get into some human stuff. Stay tuned.
So no, but what I was thinking when you were talking about all that is honestly just how beautiful it is that like we're just kind of like that. Like if we find, you know, whatever hobby, interest, whatever you want to call it, like when you find that and you find like other people that are also into that, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, like everything else kind of stops.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't fucking matter anymore. Like there's like this this mutual agreement. Like, oh, you like this thing? I also like this thing. We can talk about that thing and not have to worry about literally anything else.
Right.
We can just talk about and enjoy that thing together.
Yeah.
And I just think, I mean, man, this is all about just pointing out obvious things in life. But like,
but that's how it should be.
It's just really cool.
You just share common interests with somebody and it allows you to feel comfortable somewhere. I think a lot of us like grow up going like, I don't know how it is for everybody else, but I can only really speak on myself. But I mean, I would love it if other people felt this way. And that's why I like went to say like, oh, I think everybody does like this, but this is me specifically talking about myself. Like all through school, all through high school, which for some people is like big social time for them. That's where, you know, they meet all of their friends for life and they, you know, find their interests or they find where they fit in, right? I think that's the key thing is in high school, there are people where they just figure out where they fit in. And for me, I never found that in school.
But real quick, and I'm just saying this because Liam isn't seeing this from the outside the window at this moment. If you are listening to this and you are in high school and you haven't found literally anything about yourself whatsoever, that's okay.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to. That will.
No, that's what I was going to get to. Is the.
Well, fuck me then. Sorry.
You're fine. He's just trying to get that disclaimer out to make sure I didn't sound bad. Thank you for that. Our lawyers, thank you. We don't have any.
Yeah, we do. There's one behind the LS.
Yeah, we have one in there. Yeah. There's a PR team that reviews this before it goes live. Anyways.
We hired it since last time.
Yeah, I know, right? Need to. Fuck. But anyway, I didn't find that in high school. Like, I never found where it was that I fit in. I kind of just bounced around from group to group because I had weird interests, you know, compared to everybody else. And I was picked on a little bit for that, which it is what it is. I think everybody kind of goes through that. But yeah, I didn't find a place or community where I fit in. And it wasn't until I got into cars, like I actually got my license and started being able to go out to events. And then, you know, I moved to the US and got involved with the community over here. That's where I found that I fit in. You know, I used my camera as my excuse to get in with the car community, but like I relate to these people, the people that pour their blood, sweat, and tears into like designing and building these cars exactly the way that they want to. That was my shit. I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice that I can go anywhere in the world and pretty much run into people that share that same sentiment. Like they just love cars. They love building them exactly the way they want. Granted, we have different flavors and takes on how we do that. That the core values and the passion and drive to do it is still there. And that is the best thing ever. And so getting to what you said, if you're in high school now and you know you don't feel like you found where you fit in, or you're kind of just you're just unsure of what it is that maybe you want from your life or who you want to surround yourself with or what you want to do, blah, blah, blah. Don't stress that at all.
Like not even a little bit.
Yeah, because
like, that's always been such a weird societal thing. It's always been so strange to me that our society has like placed an age range for when you're supposed to like have some idea of like, dude,
yeah,
you have to think
they make
about,
it seem like in your teenage years you need to like have everything figured out, and like by the time you get into your 20s or you're getting out of college you need to be ready for the exact like, career path
it's
you're
so
take.
Weird to me that there's like a static expectation placed on something that is constantly changing, because like you look at your parents or your grandparents, like this age where you're supposed to have shit figured out is constantly moving. Like
right. The
fact that it's constantly moving, let's be honest, that means it does not fucking matter. If it's movable like that.
Right.
It doesn't fucking matter.
It also means like, that shit changes.
Exactly.
Ten years ago, I was very heavily involved in an entirely different community that was nothing to do with cars.
Same, honestly.
It was nothing to do with cars. And I 100% at that time, I was like, yeah, this is my shit. This is where I want to be. These are my people. And I'm not saying now that those weren't my people then, but shit changes. 10 years from now, who's to say that, like, I mean, I don't think that would happen. I think I'm really and truly very into cars. But there are hobbies and interests and things that, and communities that you can be a part of. It's okay to move on from those and move into something else.
Yeah.
Like, you just find the places that you fit in and you're comfortable and you enjoy it. You don't need to stress and be like, well, I don't feel like this is it. And usually if you're the type of person, like going back to what I said earlier in the episode, if you're the type of person that is like, yo, fuck the car scene's fucked. Like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, I don't want to be involved with cars. You probably shouldn't, because like we have said in this episode, all of this stuff is inevitable. Shit is going to happen regardless. And if your approach to it is this, oh, fuck this, I don't want to do it anymore, then you probably shouldn't. And that sucks to say, but there's nothing wrong with moving on from it and moving to somewhere else. It's okay.
Coming from somebody, okay, I am someone who, for basically my whole life, I identify very majorly with like what I'm into at the time.
Yes. Well, I can definitely agree on that.
Yeah. So I identify majorly with what I'm into at the time. And like, just in layman's terms, like whatever it is that I'm into, 90% of my water goes in that cup. Yeah. Like that just becomes like, you know, how I present myself. Like I'm probably talking about that or taking part in that, like 80 to 90% of the time. So it was always kind of like, I'm not even going to say it was jarring, because it was always a very gradual process. But, you know, I would have these days where I would just kind of like wake up and realize like, oh shit, like I'm not really like into that anymore.
Yeah.
And it was honestly like a really disconcerting feeling.
Yeah.
Because I spent so long like identifying with that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, just like all at once, I kind of realized that I don't really identify with that anymore. But it took me a while to like, and there were definitely, frankly, there's still times, but I arrive at those moments in a much healthier way now. And it's not as like earth shattering as it once was for me. But, those moments are going to happen, because the nature of being a human is you change over time in every conceivable way. But it's like, I think I just want to share this with anybody who's experiencing, and I'm sure there are people out there, if not all people, I'm really bad about, I don't know if it's just me. And then people are like, Matt, literally everyone does that.
No, I'm the same way.
But yeah, so it's like, if you come to this moment and you were identifying with something you were involved in for a long time, and then you kind of come to the realization that you don't identify with that anymore, not only don't like feel weirdly guilty about that, but like don't let that fuck you up. Like,
the things that you do don't determine the person that you are.
Right. Well, there's that. But also, like, if you were really into something and you were identifying with it, it's a given that there's like a sense of comfort that comes with that. Right. And so in some cases, when you kind of realize that you're not really a part of that anymore and you haven't like replaced it at that moment, it can feel really like uncomfortable, because you're like, well, I don't have that anymore. Now I have nothing.
Yeah.
And I've been there, and that's kind of that's just the reason that I bring this up for anybody that I would assume is younger than me. If it applies to you and you're not younger than me, then great. But I would assume this, if it's going to apply to anybody, it's going to apply to people that are younger than me. I would encourage you to not let it throw you way the fuck off when you've been, you know, really about X, Y, Z thing for a long time and you've gotten comfortable and you've gotten accustomed to being that way. And then you just kind of realize one day that you're not really into that anymore. That's okay. And even if you haven't, like, even if you realize that and you haven't like found the thing to replace it yet, that's okay.
And also, it's pretty normal to like change up your interests in that community too. Like if you're into cars, say like for me, for example, I'm into VIP cars. If 5 years from now I take more of a direction with track cars, that's pretty normal, honestly. Yeah. You don't have to feel like, hey, this is my thing, I have to stick with it. Like you'll make friends along the way, and anybody who's a car enthusiast will always, you know, appreciate people who can go down different.
Well, sometimes it's like a real lightning bolt thing too. Yeah. Like sometimes you can literally just like wake up one day and you're like, huh, all of a sudden I am hopelessly obsessed with da-da-da-da-da part of car culture.
Right. And that being said, going back to takeover conversation, if you're somebody that is...
Just don't be lightning bolt obsessed with that.
No. Well, no, the polar opposite is what I was going to say is if you are somebody that is interested in that or involved with that, or maybe you just have a tendency to enjoy like really dumb shit, I can talk on this because this is me. Like I've done a lot of maturing in the past like 5 or 6 years, and you can see a lot of it like through my YouTube channel. Like some of the stuff that I was filming years back, I won't do that now because I have like seen the repercussions that it can have on the community. And I'm like very observant of that now. And I don't want to make those same mistakes. And like the reason I put this out there is because I want to encourage you guys to do the same thing. I'm not saying be boring and like, hey, don't ever step out of line and don't have fun. I'm saying just be aware. Like if you care about your community and you're passionate about cars, you should. If you are passionate about cars, you should also care about the community. So just like be aware of what's going on. Maybe if people are doing burnouts, leaving cars and coffee, and there's a bunch of people standing around, an accident could happen. Maybe don't be the one extra person to encourage that.
Exactly.
Be the person to step away.
At the very least, don't be party to
you. You don't have to like run up there and tell everyone like, no, don't do this, blah, blah, blah. Because if it's a place where the majority of people are encouraging it, you're just going to have a bad time, unfortunately. Yeah. But just maybe don't just walk away from it and be like, all right, whatever. I mean, if it's a different story, if it's something where it's relatively controlled or like we've said, whatever. But you know, just be aware of the things that are going on and the repercussions they could have on the community, and try, even at just your own personal level, to just be a better person in the community that you're involved in. And if we all do that, it helps resolve a lot of the issues, which again, there's always going to be issues. Things are always going to happen. But it can help you be, you know, happier with the stuff that you do in the community, knowing that you're positively impacting the community.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just like, and I wish I had like a less like cheesy sounding way to put it, but I've said it before based on something that you said. It is kind of like an educated enthusiast kind of deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like each person, you know, I'm not saying everybody has the potential to change the world kind of deal. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that, like, if you have 5 people that are into cars, mm-hmm. right, in a given situation, and 2 of them, it's all one friend group, for instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And 2 of them are just, like, real shitheads about this kind of stuff. And they just like, they're watch the world burn kind of people. They don't give a fuck. Like they're just there for whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And those are your buddies. And there's 3 of you that like have your head on straight. And you're just like, for the sake of the argument, you are the person. You are that the ideal educated enthusiast that we talk about so often.
Mm-hmm.
If there's 3 of you and 2 of them, simply by nature of you being an educated enthusiast, you are the reason that there's 3 as opposed to just 2. Does that? Well, hold on. Slow it down.
Brain loading.
Okay. 5 friends, 2 friends, shitheads, 3 friends, educated enthusiasts.
Yeah.
That third educated enthusiast dips the scales in the favor of the educated enthusiast. There's more educated enthusiasts
mm-hmm.
than shitheads.
Mm-hmm.
If there's more educated enthusiasts, that's more people to peer pressure the shitheads to not be shitheads.
Exactly.
And that's the one person that tips that scale.
Yeah, it goes right back to our conversation about Helen and like self-policing. It's a similar thing, really. You got to watch out for the community. And if your friends are doing some of that bad shit, then
give them a bunch of shit.
Yeah. Try and make it so that they don't, or just don't be friends with people that do bad shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, it really is. It's that simple. I mean, yeah. On it. And again, you know, I'm not, there's so many, there's a different situation in every possible direction in the physical plane that we inhabit. Like there's every possible situation you can imagine as far as like friendships are concerned. So please don't think that we're like sitting here being like, well, if your friend's shitty, just don't be friends with them. Like, there are friendships where like you have a friend that just like acts shitty, but you guys are really close and you have, you know, whatever. But in a situation like that, give them merciless shit whenever they act shitty.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, guys, I think biggest thing to really get on with this point is
we should, community you should, is you awesome. Should clip what I just said, but literally cut off everything. But when I said give them merciless shit, and that's just the give them merciless shit substance.
There you go. But no, the community has a lot of positives, and I think it is cool to kind of compare to other communities and subcultures, because at the end of the day, we can all quite easily sit back and complain and bitch about things that suck and whatever. But when you compare it to all of the other things in the world, it's not that bad. And also the fact that all of these other communities have the same issues. It's literally just human nature that people are going to disagree on shit. Some people want to do something, some people want to do other things. And that is all fine, well, and good. The biggest thing that I want to push is just be involved with that community because you love it and you're passionate about that thing. If you want to be involved with cars, be passionate about cars. The rest will figure itself out. And I think that that's a good thing and it's important. And I love cars. I love this fucking community.
Honestly, really me do. Too. Fucking
and that being
cars
said,
are just so...
That being said, our Discord community... is so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It really is.
The link is in the description. And like I've said in other episodes, if the link is for some reason not working or it says the link is expired, just shoot me or Matt a message on Instagram. We'll get you the right link.
We are, even though it's show not tell, we are kind of going to be doing some experimenting as far as trying to make it more active, yeah. As far as like trying to make it so that there's always some kind of conversation happening.
Yeah.
Because right now there are certainly just conversations happening, but at the moment, I think it's just very like you have to be there at the right time.
Yeah.
To be a part of the conversation, but well, we're going to be working.
We want it to be a thing that is part of your daily schedule. Like every day you hop on Instagram to go check up and see what everyone's doing on their stories or whatever. Like I want our Discord server to be a similar thing. Like when you hop on your phone in the morning or after work or on your lunch break, whatever, go to our Discord and like take a scroll through, engage. If you got some stuff to share, share it. And I will be getting a little bit more involved. I know I've said this plenty of times, but I do really mean it this time. And the reason I say that is because I've been like the past few weeks, I'm like pretty done with Instagram. I just don't care to be on there. I have a personal account that I post like a weekly like photo dump to, which I enjoy doing because it's literally just iPhone pictures that I think are cool and it's great memories. I can look back at whatever weekend and see what I did. My business account though, I'm not posting shit. It's just not worth it. Nobody sees it. I'm not promoting any kind of business anymore. And it's honestly just really overwhelming. So I'm kind of taking a little bit of a hiatus from social media stuff, but the Discord, I want to make more a part of my daily thing because it's all people that I can like I consider you guys like basically my friends. Like I want to hop on there and just hang out with you guys and talk cars. This is the stuff that I'm into. I don't get that on Instagram because Instagram has been so heavily focused around numbers and business and all of this other stuff. The Discord is very much just, it's all about the stuff that we talk about on this podcast, right. The different subcultures, you know, specific cars, things going on in the community. Like that shit's cool. And I'd love to be able to have like unbiased conversations with just people on the internet that share the same passion. And so all of the things that we talked about in this episode, all the positive things to do with the community, you'll find that in the Discord. And it's just a cool place to be. So I'm excited to get more involved with it and talk to more of you guys. And hopefully you guys want to come and join, and we'll see you in there. But I'm not gonna lie, I'm about good on this episode.
Yeah, it's time for an ice bath.
Yeah, I sorry that this is, that was horrible. I said I sorry.
I
my
brain,
I feel like
brain fried.
I was gonna say, I feel like I've had a few things this episode where my just, you know, like the,
you just like short circuited.
Yeah, you know, like the text to voice thing on fucking TikTok or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like my brain is that. I'm writing the script as I'm talking. Like the next words are processing.
I'm writing the script as I'm talking.
I was about to try and do the voice. I'm just not even going to do it. But the text to voice thing is what's happening in my brain, but I'm really fucking hot. So I'm like,
it's really fucking hot in here.
Yeah. The next words just aren't coming out the way they're supposed to. And just, that's, yeah, it's not going that well.
We, as per usual, we really appreciate you guys a lot.
Yes, we do.
It's difficult. Honestly, I was kind of telling Liam earlier today that, you know, and honestly, I'm comfortable saying this because I'm going to go ahead and say that I would say 90% of our listeners right now are kind of like our OGs.
Yeah.
So I, you know, again, I feel comfortable saying this, but I feel like we really want this, as much as we really enjoy the episodes where we can just kind of like chat and just like have our conversations, and I know, I mean, I feel like I can comfortably say that you guys have seen it. I certainly, me and Liam feel this way, but like I feel like we've gotten, you know, those have been really fruitful, those episodes.
Yeah.
But
they're not exactly, it's like
we want to grow, but we want to have those. But like those, I guess I almost want to put it in a way that by now, anybody that's been with us from like early, as I said, probably that's about 90% of you that are regularly keeping up with us like this.
Mm-hmm.
By now, you guys like know us pretty well, honestly. And I feel like that might be part of the reason that you do come back and listen every week, which we are endlessly thankful for, as we always tell you, because that's the truth. That being said, we are going to be working to do more episodes that kind of have more structure.
They're less
just
about
in that,
us, too.
Yeah, in that people don't have to like, what am I trying to say?
They don't have to know us or fuck with us to listen to the episode. Like there needs to be more episodes like this one where we kind of touch on a topic that is relatively general that anybody could relate to and isn't just specific to us. Of course, it's got to be car related, but, and that's why, you know, we do want to do more interviews, of course. Mm-hmm. That's always been a thing that we want to do. But right now, we're kind of just working with what we have. You know, it's limited resources. We don't have the money to be traveling out to events. We have differing schedules. We're busy. And so, you know, expecting people to come here to Chattanooga and hang out with us and then sit in this extremely hot, uncomfortable garage and talk about cars is difficult to do. And it will happen here or there, but I think for the time being, we can't put too much faith in doing the interview episodes because it's not as feasible as we thought it was initially.
But yeah, I mean,
it is part of it. We just want to do more topics that anybody can listen to.
Yeah, ultimately the reason for saying all that is to just tell you guys that we do really appreciate you.
Yeah.
You know, we really enjoy doing this, and we do, I'm going to stop myself at this one. We do really have, we have a lot of plans for this that we're really excited for. It's just really, it can be, you know, as you can imagine, it can be really discouraging when the resources aren't lining up with that, but show not tell. So I'll leave that be.
Yeah.
We really, really appreciate you guys. We really appreciate, especially you guys that are listening every single week. I mean, that's
no, it's
you can't imagine how cool it feels to know that somebody out there that you may well not, you know at all or have ever met, you know, give enough of a shit about what comes out of your mouth. That was a really blunt way of saying that. But yeah. Like, give enough of a shit to listen to you for 2 hours, no less.
Yeah. But I think that's why this is cool. I don't think that there's not very many people that are doing this. You know, it's still a very new thing. And I've had a lot of good feedback from this show from people that never listened to podcasts at all. And they're like, man, you kind of got me into podcasts. Like, I'm looking up other stuff now. It was just interesting. That's awesome to me. Like, the more people that we can just get in the podcast space, the better. So if you guys have ever thought about starting a podcast, go ahead and do it, please. It's really cool. We really enjoy this, and we've joked about it being like therapy, but it kind of is. Like, it brightens our day to come in here.
It is always really nice.
Have these conversations.
This hot ass fucking girl.
And I really hope that for you guys listening, that it makes your day better too, whether you're commuting to work or you're at work or you're just sitting at home in the evening, eating your dinner and watching us on the TV, who knows? I hope it makes your day better. I hope it provides you with some kind of value. And we love doing it, and we plan to continue doing it. And that's about it. Thank you, guys. Make sure you go and give us 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and on YouTube. Post in the comments. And hopefully soon Spotify is going to let us actually put the visual on Spotify. I don't know how that works or whatever, but I need that set up because that would be really cool. But yeah, I think that's about it.
Well,
thanks, y'all.
Thanks, dudes.
We appreciate it. We'll be back next week. No idea what we'll be talking about, but we'll have it figured out. And no doubt it'll still be unbearable in here. We need to like do it in the evening, but the problem is, like, on weeknights, it's not dark and cooled down until really late.
Right. It was still light outside at like 9:15.
Yeah,
yesterday. And it's kind of insane.
I can't expect you to sit down and do a 2-hour podcast when you have to be up for work at fucking, what time do you get up?
Usually like 6:45.
Yeah, like, if you got to be up at 6:45, we can't start recording an episode at 11 p.m.
Right.
You know, it's not ideal. So we'll figure it out eventually. Bear with us.
We're trying. We love you guys. We're trying.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.